The overreaction to the wait, it is I screwed up the whole open. Oh well, we'll keep it. It is Locked On Jazz for the 12th of January. All overreaction to losing to Detroit in Indiana has gone way too far. Let's reset the barriers, make sure we understand what's really going on, and understand where our Utah Jazz sit before a tough one back home against the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-pow.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, I started that about as well as you can start the broadcast. The Jazz played the second half defense against Detroit, so sorry about that. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thanks so much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all platforms. You are more than welcome. Please follow us on whatever platform you're listening. You can subscribe on YouTube for free, and you can hit that little bell button get notified every time we start. Special hello to Derek and Taylor and Jared and Caden and Jorgis from Greece and Lacey. I hope the family's doing all right. Paul, Lee, and Caden, all great to have you aboard this morning. Thanks very much for the early risers. Somebody asked the other day if I'm tilted, and the answer is yes. Where I am parked, I'm on a slight tilt to the right. So those devices back up there are all a little tilted. But we are in the van. We're just living out of the van. I do go home, if you're wondering, but this summer, you never know where the van might be podcasting. I'm not sure my family's going to love it. All right, let's get a few things organized and straight here. The narrative is that because the Jazz lost to the Detroit Pistons and the Indiana Pacers, that the Utah Jazz can't win a title. Like, and this is from Jazz fans. This isn't from, like, national pundits doing crazy stuff. This is from Jazz fans. Okay. Let's make sure we have a few facts straight, because that's actually the furthest thing from the truth. Those losses are bad. Our performance was ridiculous. Losing to Detroit without Rudy Gobert by 30 in this over a 30-minute period of time is it's crazy. It shouldn't happen. It should, if you want to call it embarrassed, they should be embarrassed. I hate that crap, but okay, it should be like embarrassing. It's bad. But the Golden State Warriors are not a title contender if Steph Curry's out. The Clippers currently are not a title contender without Kawhi Leonard. The Nuggets are not a title contender without Nikola Jokic, and they're not actually even a title contender without Jamal Murray, but they sure are with him, right? The Lakers are not a title contender without Anthony Davis or without LeBron James, and LeBron James is way better than Anthony Davis. So the fact that he played three basketball games, and actually won one of them against Denver without Rudy Gobert, Toronto, I guess, was a basketball game four, and we lost. Okay, if you thought we were a title contender without Rudy Gobert, you're insane, right? I mean, I have other words I could call that. But frankly, you're insane. Like, there is, like, sorry, my throat is super dry. There is no chance we win a title without Rudy Gobert. I mean, the other question we could be having here and discussing that's kind of crazy is, like, if we didn't have Rudy Gobert, would we actually be one of the worst teams in the NBA? There's a chance. I've always wondered, for a long time, I've actually wondered, if we didn't have Rudy Gobert, would we have just been the Phoenix Suns prior to them getting Chris Paul? And then and then Donovan Mitchell would be victimized unfairly, as Devin Booker was unfairly, for having numbers on a bad team. Now Devin Booker's thought of as being brilliant the way Donovan Mitchell is thought of being brilliant, which is the accurate depiction of both of them. So this like next step I keep that I've got on my Twitter timeline, I've heard some people, I've heard some pundits, I've heard, no kidding. Last year, the Brooklyn Nets were not a title contender without Kyrie Irving, with James Harden without a hamstring. We're not a title contender if Donovan Mitchell's got a sprained ankle either, by the way. Right? Like, this is... we talked about it yesterday. Like, we're a beautiful crystal ball. Our crystal ball has been perfectly put together. Perfectly. The front office, used by the coaching staff perfectly. It is not a crystal ball that has an unbelievable ability to transform in different manners. Okay? I'm not sure a lot of teams are. You know, frankly, Memphis's run without Ja Morant this year is about as impressive as anything I've seen in the NBA. The Warriors beat us without Draymond Green. Not great, but they're not beating us a lot without Steph Curry. Right? And give Memphis credit, by the way. They just wouldn't beat. They just did to the Warriors what we couldn't do, which was beat the Warriors without Draymond Green. All right, now that right there, that's a real talking point. The fact that we've lost to Chicago, lost to Miami twice, lost to the Warriors. Our only good win is against a Milwaukee team that didn't have anybody on the floor. That is a legitimate talking point. To discussion of where this basketball team is, what, how far they can go, how much they have to improve before the playoffs. Remember, the goal is to be at peak performance by game 70, 75, 80. Those are the things. That's a very legitimate discussion. Last night or two nights ago in Detroit, three nights ago in Indiana? No. No, no, no. We knew that. Did it put on display in a glaring, disturbing manner our weaknesses? Sure, only if you had just decided to completely ignore what those weaknesses were and what we knew they were, right? Like, there's really no more disturbing and glaring example of our weaknesses than game six against the LA Clippers, when they just put their head down, drove at us, and then in transition, we didn't build a wall and slow anyone down at all. So, that's a bad loss in the standings for seeding. Indiana's a bad loss in the standings for seeding. Orlando's a bad loss. It's not great to have lost to Detroit and Orlando this year. Like, those are hard ones to come back from. We always talk about that. There are things about this team that are a little different than what we've seen before. We're losing halftime leads in a way we didn't used to. We're losing to below 500 teams in a way we didn't used to. Those things, probably legitimate discussions about what's going on with our club. And I don't even want to say like we didn't, you like, I actually think that's even, I'm trying to find the numbers if you can't tell. You know, I don't even know if to say that's actually even fair to say like we didn't used to, like we didn't last year when we had the best record in the NBA. But last year when we led at the half, we were 41-4. This year, we're already 22-6. Last year when we led after three, we were 45-2. This year, we're 26-4. Last year against above 500 teams last year, we were 21-13. This year, we're 15-7. Now, what that tells you also is that last year we only lost, and this is another myth that's out there that just has to be absolutely expelled from people's minds, is that last year we only lost seven games all year to teams who are below 500. We do not lose games we're not supposed to. That's not true. This year we have. This year we've lost six games to teams that are below 500. So that's where we're different. So if you want to be trumpeting the concern is the lack of a good win, the lack of holding leads, the lack of what feels like a consistency throughout games that's different than what we saw last year. Now, it could be all sorts of things, frankly. That could be a veteran team that, you know, last year really had it rolling, and this year it doesn't have it rolling in the same way. And at times it's, you know, frankly, the season gets old and you throw up some dogs. Like, it happens. The other one is, I had said on this podcast, I would point out, that we had a dog coming. Now, I thought by skipping Toronto, we might actually get away without the dog. But that might have been it in Detroit. All right. We're going to review some other notes on this, and then I want to take your call, your comments and your calls, your chats in the chat room as well, as we are coming to you live from who knows where in the van on Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for making us your first listen of the day. Today's show is brought to you by my friends over at Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and in Linden. So great. To have you aboard, have Murdoch aboard as a sponsor of today's program and of Locked On Jazz. The Murdoch family has been so good to us throughout, and getting to know Blake has been an absolute pleasure. Great lineup of cars for you as well. The Elantra won the North American Car of the Year for a reason. Super impressive on their part. The Sonata is one of the most favorite sedan cars I've driven. We bought two Santa Fe's for our kids. Yeah, I know that sounds really ritzy and fancy, and it is, but if you've ever driven with your kids when they're 16 years old and realize how crappy a drivers they are, you then go do the research and you say, all right, what's the safest SUV that I can get my kids in for a reasonable price? And you come up with a Hyundai Santa Fe. If you're wondering, that's how that works. And then you call Blake and you say, Blake, I need one. And then you call Blake again and say, I need another one, because I got another kid turning 16. And my kids are spoiled because they get new cars because their dad is freaked out that they can't drive. That's what happens there. And so far, so good. They have, you know, I have a guy I know. He wasn't a good friend. I actually thought he was kind of a, you know what, who used to just say, I don't understand what's so complicated about this. Just tell the kids not to hit something. Okay, it's a pretty good rule. Like, it is. It's actually the key of all driving. Don't hit something. That's the key to the whole thing. Today's show is Murdoch Hyundai. If you're going to stop by, you want to see any of our guys, feel free to drop me a email, dlock09@gmail.com, and I'll help you out. Today's show is also brought to you by our good friends over at Built. It's that time of year. I'm there. The holiday stuff is kind of caught up on me. I'm a little heavier than I want to be. It's time. Good idea. Throw the Built bars. I've now put the Built bars back where all my candy is. So now, instead of the midday 3 Oreo cookies, 4 Holland mints, I'm a real sweet tooth, 3 chocolate chip cookies. No, all at the same time. Totally willing to do all those at the same time. It's a Built bar. That's the game plan right now to try to solve that, is it's a Built bar instead. And it's usually a coconut brownie. Well, actually, today I have two choices. Today, in the van, we have the coconut brownie and we have the grasshopper cookie. Also, Built Bites are going away, so they're 50% off right now. Go grab them. The Built Bars are still available. Coconut brownie chunk is still available. Grasshopper cookie is not, but frankly, mint brownie is pretty close. So go grab them and use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off on Built.com. Thanks very much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of the day. Have you tried Locked On Now yet? I'm super interested to know what you think of it. Great recap of the NBA last night. It's available on Locked On NBA's YouTube channel. It's also available on the Locked On Now podcast. Let's see what... here's our first chat room. Ingles' value is an expiring contract, and that's it. So let's discuss this concept of the idea of trading Joe Ingles. Every time I do this, Joe DMs me and says, oh, you're trading me again. I am not trading you, Joe. Mountain Habler brought it up. So I think we saw Joe Ingles' value when the ball didn't move the other night. Now, Joe has not had great playoffs recently. Joe does physically look like he might be a step slower at 33 years old than he was at 29 years old. And it's probably some question of whether, as the speed of the game picks up, what his productivity is going to be. Legitimate questions. He is also one of the best shooters in the NBA early in shot clocks. He's one of the best catch and shoot shooters in the NBA. He gives us a third pick and roll ball handler to keep the game moving. He at 6'8" and a pick and roll ball handler is unique to who we are and what we do. So to move Joe Ingles, you better really receive value. To Mountain Hobbler's point, I actually think you better receive value that's going to help you next year also. Like, I feel like we have a 2 or 3 year window here where we have a chance to win this thing. It's kind of, teams don't hold together that long. That's just kind of the reality. We, you know, I'm not trying to make any big outlandish comment. I just kind of view that your window just eventually expires. Mike's going to get older. Like, Rudy's going to be in his third year of a contract at 38. Like, there's just enough things that I feel like, okay, we got this. We got next year, really. I'd be building it on a two-year window. And then if we have a third year at the back end of it. So if you can make a trade with really anyone, frankly, but in this case, Joe, that allows you to bring in a player for next season that increases your chances of winning the title both this year and next year, that's a worthwhile, that's a trade to consider. Because you, the Jet, if Joe just goes at the end of the year as an expiring contract, we're not in a situation where you can acquire that player unless you do it in a sign and trade with Joe, and Joe has to be willing to do that sign and trade. So if you're following me here, and I'm not sure I'm saying this clearly, the thing about Joe as an expiring contract from our standpoint, just looking at it from a Jazz standpoint, is it's not a replace because we're over the tax and because we're over the cap, it's not a replaceable contract. So Joe goes, he's making $12 million or so, maybe a little bit more, in that range. I obviously have not run the trade machine with Joe Ingles very often because they're also had no salary. But if you trade, if Joe, the end of the year, Joe goes, we don't just get $12 million to sign another player. Because of the fact, that's just the way the cap works. So if Joe goes and we don't re-sign him, we actually just lose Joe. We get back. Now, we may need to use it to get under the luxury tax. But if we're trying to build a roster that has a chance to win it this year and next year, the value to trading Joe would be if you can bring a player back who has a year or two left on their contract so that they're performing inside that window at a level that you think is superior to what Joe Ingles would have brought to this team each of the next 2 years, this year and each of the next 2 years. That's not an easy thing to do. What Joe Ingles brings to this team is wildly important and high value. So that's what I'm trying, that's the play there. Now, I don't know our luxury tax situation entirely and what we're willing to do and how long we're going to be in that tax and whether we're willing to be a repeater. And there's all sorts of aspects. And Ryan and Ashley Smith have been really pretty unbelievable in what they're willing to spend for this team right now. So that's, you know, let's be careful with how much we're suddenly spending their money on that. But purely ignoring luxury tax bills and building and roster building for the next years, Joe's expiring contract is not replaceable if we don't re-sign Joe. So trading Joe, not that Joe's only value is an expiring contract, which in a sense, in some ways it is, but to us, trading Joe would be in order to get better this year, but also to have a piece for the next years. That makes sense. Paul says that Joe Ingles is the key. Anyone that doesn't see that doesn't can't don't see the big picture. Ball did, don't move as well without him. Ingles is the key. Anyone that doesn't see that doesn't see the big picture. Ball doesn't move as well without him. I'll help you out with the does and don'ts there, Paul, to make it so that people understand what you had to say. Jorgis in Greece has got a master plan. We trade Joe and get him back next year with the tax exception. Few things. Can you use the tax exception every year? I'd have to look into, because I think we used it for Rudy Gay this year, so we might be able to. And that's an interesting idea, because you trade Joe, and then is he not so bitter that he's willing to come back and play for you again? Is an interesting note. I wanted to back up one little kind of numbers aspect of things here about my opening comment of today's show in regards to the idea that because we lost to Detroit in Indiana without Rudy Gobert, that we're somehow broken and therefore we're not a title contender. Okay, the number one plus minus player in the league right now is Nikola Jokic. The difference is plus 23.2. When he's on the floor versus off the floor with Denver, 10 points better offensively, 13 points defensively. Just incredible. He's the MVP. That team would be literally without Jokic would win 10 games. Steph Curry is number two. Steph Curry is plus 21.9. They're 12.6 points better offensively and 9.4% defensively. we cannot sit on one side of the table and tell you that Rudy Gobert is one of the five most impactful players in the league, like we all preach to be and want the rest of the world to understand how great Rudy is, and then turn around when Rudy doesn't play and say, see, we're terrible. Rudy this year is plus 12.6. Offensively, we've been about the same with Rudy on and off the floor. And defensively, we're in the he's in the 98th percentile. He's minus 11.3. Interestingly, the only players who play a lot, whose teams are different defensively, is Nikola Jokic. Jokic actually has become good enough defensively that Denver is 13 points worse when he's off the floor. Then Rudy, of players who've played at least 1,000 possessions, is next at 11.3. And then Domantas Sabonis in Indiana, which is interesting when they talk about trading him. And then, bizarrely, D'Angelo Russell is the next one in that group. Steph Curry, actually, they're way better defensively, too. Ted. So, right, we can't sit on one side. This is not new, right? Last year, the number one player in the NBA with an on-off plus-minus differential was Rudy Gobert. Last year, when Derek Favors or whomever was on the floor instead of Rudy Gobert, we were in our absolutely, he was the biggest differential in all the NBA. And so, that's the telling stat there to all this. There's no other way to look at it. Last year, players, Draymond Green was plus 15.1. Rudy was actually plus 14.6 in non-blowout minutes. Okay. Like, if you're missing that guy, you're not good. Right? So we don't need to go too crazy on some of this today. Today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is an absolutely fabulous, fun DFS, daily fantasy sports game. It's the best NBA game on the market. You actually can interact NBA and others, but Prize Picks offers you NBA props more than any other DFS operator offers all the superstar players as the bench players. Handful of minutes. I wonder if you guys prize picked it out the other night when we went to Toronto. I told you to. Offers any prop you can think of: points, assists, rebounds, threes made, etc. All of the users that deposit, use the promo code NBA, get a 100% deposit match up to $100. You pick 2 to 5 players on the over-under on your projections. You win up to 10 times an entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Pick allows mixed sports entries as well. So if you want to do something with the playoff games and a game, you can do that. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Go to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code NBA. That's prizepicks.com. And use the promo code NBA. NFL weekend is upon us. If you want to get into all the action, you can do it at betonline.ag. That's betonline.ag to get in on all the action. The Bengals are a 5.5-point favorite right now. The Bills, I was just listening to Locked On Bills this morning and Joe Marino. They're 4-point favorite. Tonight on the NBA action of things, let's see where they have us without Rudy Gobert against Cleveland. By the way, Darius Garland left the Portland game the other night with a little bit of a kind of back injury, and then but not on their injury report. Jazz are a 6-point favorite tonight against Cleveland. Lakers are a 3.5-point favorite against Sacramento. Chicago is a 2-point favorite against the Brooklyn Nets. Wow, that game's being played late tonight. It's become a marquee game in the NBA. Dallas and New York, Dallas 2-point favorite there. Do it all at betonline.ag. Promo code LOCKED gets you 50%. Welcome bonus. All right. Thank you very much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of the day. We're excited to have you aboard, and your second listen should be Locked On Now. So this is a great question. If we make a trade, would you go after Marcus Smart or a Jeremy Grant type player? So, all right, let's just look at both those for a second. And let me ask you, like, they're both really good players. I don't think we actually have a package that can get either of them. But Marcus Smart is shooting 30% from three. He's a career 32% three-point shooter. Who are you putting on the floor instead? Who are you taking off the floor? And what does it do to us if you take You think Boyan off? Boyan has the reputation of our worst on-ball defender. I actually think he battles pretty hard, and particularly if he can use his strength, he's fine. You taking Royce off the floor? So now we just have one defender again? Like, how are you making this work? I've yet to hear anyone explain to me how this works. So we're going to take a 40% three-point shooter off the floor, and we're going to put a 31% three-point shooter in Marcus Smart on the floor. And we're the number one. So now we're not the number one offensive team in the NBA anymore. Right? Like, Marcus Smart has some chutzpah and some guts, and he's got a lot of things. But, like, explain to me how this works. And maybe it does. And maybe the decision is we're better off being the fifth best offensive team and getting our defense to be a little bit better. The other thing I worry about is in the playoffs, what people do is go and hunt people out defensively. They find the matchup. They switch. They get the matchups. They hunt it out defensively. And if you put Marcus Smart on the floor, great. Can't they still hunt out who they want in their matchups other than Marcus Smart? Now, you're going to go trade for Marcus Smart and Jeremy Grant and something and then go change our whole team back to being defensive, and then we don't have enough offense, and it's hard to win. It's really, really hard to win. What usually wins is Giannis or LeBron or one of these guys, Steph, that's superhuman, that overrides all other aspects. Right? That's the element. So, all right. Jeremy Grant's really interesting to me. And I'm just being devil's advocate a little bit. Like, I think all of these are legitimate conversations and they're good conversations. So Jeremy Grant is shooting 33% from three and a career 34%. Same question. Who are you taking off the floor? Now someone's not guarding Marcus Smart and someone's not guarding Jeremy Grant, and Donovan and Mike cannot get into the lane. So who are you taking off the floor? Let me also remind you that in the summer of 2020, which was not that long ago, Jeremy Grant got offered the same amount of money to stay in Denver and take nine shots a night and be a defensive stopper or sign with a terrible Detroit team and get 17 shots a night and score 22 points a game. And he chose 17 shots and 22 points a game. Now, maybe he's decided now that he wants to come back. You know, he wants to go back to win. Where are you getting 22 shots? Frankly, where are you getting nine shots? Whose shots are you giving him? Guys like to shoot. They want the ball. We didn't move the ball at all the other night because of that. So where are you getting those shots? There's a balance here in building a basketball team. Marcus Smart takes 10 shots a night. And trust me, Marcus Smart takes 10 shots a night. Where are you getting them? So tell me that. So tell me where these trades make us better. Tell me who you're taking off the floor. Tell me where you're getting the shots. I mean, they're fun to talk about. I get it. It's what I would do, too, if I was in your shoes. But in my shoes, I'm going to make sure there's some logic going on with them. Right? That's what I'm asking. Mountain Hobbler has another interesting question. Do we have an answer on our roster? Here's the only question I actually have right now. Is can we play Eric Paschal as the center and Rudy Gay as the four some more? I do think you got to be nervous about taking minutes away from Hassan and whether you just lose him entirely. But I think there's, you know, that's it. Peter Sloan brings up the question, is there a potential buyout candidate that might help? Yeah. I mean, I'd look for backup centers and things like that that might get bought out. Look at, like, who the backup centers on the really bad teams are and might not want to keep playing. Like, who's Orlando's backup? Who's Detroit's backup, probably nobody we're interested in. Who's, it's, you know, so it's a veteran that's not young. That decides they don't want to be there anymore. And they have a young guy they want to play instead. Here's what you want my answer? You want my trade? I want a secondary rim defender. The whole problem we have is that if you move Rudy Gobert out to the wing, we don't have a secondary rim defender. Now, I don't know how you're finding a secondary rim defender, so I don't have that answer. But if you want the piece of the puzzle that I think it's not a perimeter defender, it's a secondary rim defender. I'll elaborate more on this in the upcoming days. But you're going to go play Reggie Jackson, Terrence Mann, Nicholas Batum, Paul George, whoever else they had on the floor, Marcus Moore Sr., play five wide. Rudy's got to guard one of the corners. You drive. Rudy comes. We got to rotate better, right? But then what happens if somebody else can come also? That would be massively important to us. But I don't know who that is. They're not easy to find. Secondary rim defenders will be the most valuable things defensively in this league over the next decade. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. That's Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. Have a wonderful day.